1995, and I'm doing an interview of Richard Herring for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection at the NDSU Libraries. So Richard, what is your full name and your date of birth, and where were you born?
I'm Richard James Herring. I was born on June 23rd, 1909, in what is now Grant County, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. What is your father's name, and what village of South Russia did your father's family come from?
His name was Edward Herring, and they came from Waterloo, South Russia.
I see. Okay. When and where did he die?
He died in Portland, Oregon on April 29th, 1970.
Mm-hmm. Where is he buried?
He's buried in the Johannisthal Cemetery, which is 15 miles north of New Leipzig, North Dakota.
Johannisthal, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your mother's name, and what village did she come from?
My mother's name was Ida Treichel, and her parents came directly from Germany to Canada, and she was born in Canada.
See. Okay. So they didn't immigrate to South Russia?
No, not that group. And they came to Canada about 1883.
Oh, okay. When did she die, and where is she buried?
She died in Bismarck in a hospital, and she's buried in the Johannisthal Cemetery north of New Leipzig.
Okay. Did I get, what was her maiden name, did you say?
Treichel.
T-R-E-I-C-H-A-L?
T-R-E-I-C-H-E-L, that's right.
E-L, okay. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had six brothers.
Can you give their names in order of their birth?
I can, but there's where I have to refer to my book.
Oh, okay. So no sisters, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We'll start with the brothers first, huh? Sounds like you came from a big family.
Yeah, there's six brothers. There were Ted,
Ted was the oldest then?
I was the oldest.
Oh, you were the oldest.
Then there was Ted, Milton.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, if I get my correct page, I'll give it to you.
Sure.
Very quickly. Okay, Ted, Milton, James, Helmut. Helmut lived to be 8 years old, and he died in an accident with a pony.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And there's Leslie, Irvin. Then I had one sister born in January 1923, and she died in 1923. About 12 days later, after birth.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Clara.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother died when I was 13 and a half years old. My father remarried for a short time, and I have a half-sister by the name of Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And also a half-brother who did not live.
Yeah. Do you know how did parents in those days decide on children's names?
No, I don't. Apparently we had no special way of doing that.
You weren't named after grandparents that you know of, huh?
No.
Mm-hmm. So what about middle names? Were middle names important?
They were important to the extent that everybody had a middle name.
They did.
But I don't know that anything particularly referred to any ancestor or parent or grandparent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you remember your grandparents?
Yes.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Tell me about your grandparents then.
Well, my grandparents came over in 1893, settled in Yankton, South Dakota for a short time and moved to North Dakota in 1895. Mm-hmm. And settled where we live in that area north of New Leipzig, I'd say about 20 miles north of New Leipzig. Mm-hmm. A little bit closer to Glenarvan.
In that area. Uh-huh.
And they lived there for, at least 25 years.
Had they homesteaded?
Yes.
That's what brought them out there?
As far as I know. And some of my parents also homesteaded in that area. And so did at least some of my uncles.
So that Homestead Act, that went for quite a long time, didn't it? If your grandparents had the chance to do that, and your parents too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
I don't know how long it went, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. Probably should know that, but I don't. Was that your grandparents, the Herrings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How about the other grandparents?
They homesteaded farther to the north and east a little bit from the same area.
Oh, same area.
See, when they came in from Canada, somehow or other, they ended up in that Glenallan area, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in the area.
Mm-hmm. Why did they come from Germany, then? They heard about the Homestead Act, too, I suppose?
I don't think they probably didn't know anything about it until they got to Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They left Germany because of, they were basically servants, working as indentured servants in Germany, which was very common. And the things got a little hard for them. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that they left because of extreme poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that there are quite a few Germans migrated to Canada and then into the United States. That was a shortcut, apparently, of some kind, and it was used by quite a few people. Mike Miller might be able to tell you about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did they do in Canada? Did they live in Canada for a while?
They lived in Canada for 2 years. That is, my grandparents did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what it is, odd jobs. I don't know that they farmed or anything of the kind, although they were, they grew up with farming.
They did.
Areas in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they came into the United States 2 years later, by 1895, or 85, I should say.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you remember them talking about the old country, either set of grandparents?
Not really. Probably because I never paid any attention to it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a letter that I picked up. One of my aunts wrote to one of my brothers at one time. And in this letter, she described conditions that existed in Germany as far as she knew. She was not born in Germany, but she knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she described the situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that letter?
I have that letter.
Maybe we can get a copy of that, if that, you think it would be anything?
Right now, it'd probably be a little hard for me to dig it out.
Not now, no. But we'll talk about that. But so the grandparents, then, the Herrings, did they talk about South Russia?
There again. If they did, it was not a great deal.
Yeah.
The only discussions that I remember a good deal was about one of the family members, an uncle of mine, did not migrate to America with the rest of the family. He stayed in Russia because he was a teacher and a minister and more or less a community leader. And he stayed with the German community in Russia. And of course, as you probably know, there's a great deal of upset when the communists took over in 1917. And he hit upon extremely hard times, he and his family. And I'd like a chance to try to find out where they're at today. I suspect that they migrated, that they were sent to Siberia like so many people were.
Yeah.
And they came back, maybe.
Maybe.
We don't know. I don't. I have a letter, a copy of that is in here. Two letters from him.
Really? Oh, how interesting. But where was he at when he wrote those letters?
Nydorf.
And that is in South Russia?
That's in South Russia, in the area of Odessa.
Okay. So he was an educated man.
Basically, and he was fairly well off.
Yeah.
Until he lost all of his property and
right. Goods.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know what life was like in South Russia for your grandparents?
I can't tell you anything.
Yeah. Do you remember any times when they talked about being homesick for the old country?
No. That never came up as far as I knew. I think they were probably after they'd gotten to the United States and when the revolution took place over there, I think they were probably glad to be here.
Yeah. Did many of their relatives come with them then, or did some stay there? Well, like you said, an uncle stayed.
No, of course, our family, my ancestors, they were pretty close-knit, so a large number of them either came together or very shortly, before or thereafter. Other relatives came too, and other friends, other neighbors from Russia came.
A whole group on the boat, maybe, huh?
I would like to get a hold of the ship's manifest for that time. I haven't succeeded in doing that.
I see. Do you think they came through Ellis Island?
I think so. They came in 1893.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know anything else about when they came or anything about their situation when they did come here? Probably not, huh?
Not really to talk about. I know my father was 8 years old when they came.
Okay.
So you see, he is still quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't that much information that I got from him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did you live close to the grandparents?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we lived in western North Dakota, of course. And they were about 2 miles from our place.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did the grandparents live on the farm then?
Yes.
Or
they did farming. That was their
farming.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How was the land and all that passed down or inheritance dealt with in those days?
As far as I know, there was no special procedure.
There wasn't, huh?
No.
Between the boys and the girls?
No. Our grandparents' land, for example, it ended up being sold. I knew some of the later owners of that area and that place over the years, and so nobody inherited that. It was apparently sold. If any of the family, I know my father didn't have any of it, but if any of the rest of them did, they sold it later on.
Mm-hmm. So your father went and bought his own land. Was he one of the oldest ones, or?
Bought in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think when he became of age or to own land, he probably homesteaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I could say, because he had a good-sized homestead. Like I said, about 2 miles south of my grandparents. And my mother, before they married, she had another bit of small plot of land homesteaded in another area, which she sold later on.
She did. She bought her own land, huh? Or got her own homestead.
Yes, you have a book in the library over at the college about the women homesteaders.
The land in her own name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mother's name isn't in that book, but...
It should be, shouldn't it?
It should be.
Yeah.
And there again, I probably should have contacted the agency office in Dickinson sometime to find out if they have a record.
Yeah. So, well, how about, did you speak German when you were a child?
We spoke German until, well, I sure was in my 20s.
You know what dialect?
Swedish. Mm-hmm. Except my mother's parents were Lottage.
Is that right?
Low German.
Mm-hmm.
And that created a somewhat of a conflict, by the way. Because my father was Swedish and my mother's parents were Low German. And conversation among them was sometimes a little rough.
It differed that much?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes created hard feelings. I don't know why.
Because of the meanings of the words, probably,
yeah.
Huh? Can you tell me?
Then, no, and my maternal grandfather was a little outspoken, and that didn't help any.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me any of those expressions? You know any expressions that they might have said that you probably haven't heard for a long time?
No, I haven't.
You know?
I haven't thought about it for so long. I'm not sure that I want to try now.
Uh-huh. It would be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, one of the questions is, you know, about expressions in other languages when Lottage is in here.
Yeah.
So, what were some of the childhood chores that you enjoyed doing?
I had something written down that I wanted to.
You were busy on the farm, I suppose, right?
Yeah, everything that we did was connected with the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked to herding the cows, you know, we had to do that once in a while. Keep them within a certain area.
Yeah.
And get the cows, bring them home at night. That is usually interesting.
Did you fence the land?
Yes. By the time I grew up, we had fences.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But there were some areas that were not fenced that we used in the fall of the year for pasture. Then we had to had somebody watching the cattle,
uh-huh.
Hurting them.
Was it one of the kids, probably?
Yes, usually.
Uh-huh. So did you have, like, range cattle and dairy, too?
Well, in our case, they were mixed. I mean, we didn't separate them.
Oh. Didn't you milk cows, though?
We milked cows.
Yeah. Uh-huh. By hand, huh?
By hand. Yeah, we had quite a bit of... We did quite a bit of milking.
Did you? You sold the cream?
Oh, yes. That's how you made money. Sell the cream and the eggs and the...
Mm-hmm, I know. So that was a big income, big part of your income,
sure.
Then, wasn't it?
Saturdays we'd go to town with the cream and the eggs and buy sugar and flour and
yeah.
What clothes we needed.
How far was it to town?
18 miles.
18 miles. And that was New Leipzig or Glen Ullin?
Glen Ullin. Because we were north of the Hart River, north of New Leipzig. And sometimes the river was hard to cross.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the reason why we chose to go to Glen Ullin.
And that was your hometown then?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay. Although it might have been shorter to New Leipzig.
Well, probably not.
Not much. Oh, okay.
It is about the same distance.
What was some of the work that you had to do that you didn't enjoy?
Well, picking corn and hoeing the garden.
Did you have to help out all the time?
Yes, we always had to work with chores, do chores. Mm-hmm. That is just part of life for us.
Yeah, right. Did you have much playtime then, and freedom?
Well, no. Once he got old enough to do some of the chores, he didn't have that much time. And, except maybe Sundays, Sunday afternoons.
That was playtime, huh?
Yeah.
Did you get together with relatives on Sundays?
Well, Sundays was church day.
Yeah.
As you probably well know from some of your interviews.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. What church did you go to?
We went to the German Congregational Church. And you go to church in the morning, you take lunch along, and you stay for a service, an hour service in the afternoon, then we'd go home. Or sometimes go visiting with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, that's when we got together with the friends and neighbors.
Yeah. There wasn't work done in those days, was there?
Sundays?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except take care of the chores that had to be done every day, like.
Yeah. What about the church then? Were your parents, your mother and your father, were they both congregational?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they had their own church then in the country church, I suppose?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you surrounded by German Russians?
Yes. But they're a little bit segregated as far as church is concerned, because we had German Congregational was the church we went to, and most of our neighbors went to that church. But we had other neighbors that went to the Catholic Church, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably in another neighborhood. And then farther away, there were some areas where there were Baptists, which is too far away for our usual contacts.
Uh-huh.
But they also had a church group.
Uh-huh. So you did associate with other people that were of different religions, if you...
Yeah.
I mean, there was no hard feelings about any of that, was
no.
there?
During certain times of the year, for instance, harvest time or thrashing time, you'd get together with quite a few of the others because they exchanged help and exchanged work.
Mm-hmm. You'd have a thrashing crew?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it's hard for me to explain what it's like. It is a day's work.
Hard day's work, huh?
Yeah.
But wasn't it kind of an exciting time, though, because there was so many people around?
Well, you were working generally, somebody in the neighborhood, or several probably, joined together to buy and operate a thrashing machine and the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that thrashing machine then would make the rounds in the neighborhood, thrashing the crops.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to keep it operating, you had to have help. And most of us, when we were old enough in our late teens, probably, were pitching the grain into the machine, you know, and that was the job we had.
Mm-hmm.
To pick up bundles, haul them into the machine, or pitch the grain off the stacks into the machine for thrashing.
Mm-hmm.
And we operated that way probably if we had a good fall season. In the area, we'd probably operate for about a month, you know, picking up from one neighbor to the next.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, was there a cook car that went along with the thrashing
no,
crew?
Not in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was old enough, the steam engines were already gone, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You may hear about that.
Yeah.
But, no, and the meals were provided by the people we threshed for. In any particular time we were threshed for this neighbor that day, they provided the meals.
The woman that would provide the meals then?
Yeah. Excuse me.
my mother-in-law had a cook car and went to different places for thrashing.
Yeah, those existed largely, I think, when the steam engines were being used for thrashing crews. And they had bigger crews because they had to haul the fuel for the steam engine. And the water, besides hauling the grain or handling the grain with the thrashing machine.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was like to go out and set bundles?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of that.
Was that fun?
You call it shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard work, especially when it got hot. But all of the bundles had to be stacked with the kernel side up, you know, with the heads of the grain up, and that is to protect them from water or rain.
Yeah.
They dry out faster.
Then did you have to let them sit for a few days to dry? About how long?
Well, usually they'd set maybe a week or two.
Oh.
Before the thrashing crews came in.
Mm-hmm. And then you sell the grain. About how much did wheat sell for in those days?
I have faint memories of prices of grain. I think there was one time we were getting as much as $5 a bushel for the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
But also there was another time when I was old enough to haul some of it, we were getting as little as about 35 cents.
When was that? When it got so low? Not the Depression.
Yeah, at that time.
And there wasn't anything.
No. Yes, it was during the Depression, during that area, or that period.
Yeah.
And if you go back and start checking some of that, you will find out that we had a real surplus, a farm surplus in those days, of all kinds of farm product. And that was one of the reasons for the prices that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hogs were selling for as little as 5 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm. Boy. About when was the time when it was $5 a bushel? Those were good times.
That was, I think that was back in the late 20s.
Mm.
See, before the Depression came in.
Mm-hmm.
Because the big economic crash was in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, as far as I remember, there were some very good prices and good wages.
Mm-hmm.
But then it became very bad.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't do some of the work that was expected of you, what form of discipline did your parents use?
You'd probably get yelled at.
Uh-huh. In Deutsch, huh?
Yeah. You mean no particular discipline or action that was taken. It was just part of what was expected of you in order to exist, I guess.
Yeah. Were they treated you pretty fairly then?
Well, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. What are some other memories you have of growing up? Any come to mind?
Not a great deal more. You see, my mother died when I was 15 and a half, and I was the oldest one in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up after certain amount of help that we got from our relatives, I ended up more or less in charge of the family at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some interesting things that some people haven't had the opportunity to do. I learned to cook and clean and run the sewing machine and do things of that kind.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Would you say that was a useful experience?
Well, like I've told my wife many times, don't forget this is my second family.
Yeah. So then your dad remarried?
For a short time, only.
Was it a lady that had some children?
Yes, and that was a problem. It became quite a big problem.
It didn't work out, huh?
No.
Was she German too?
Oh, yes. You see, when these people came, when they went from Germany to Russia, remarriages were very common over there.
They were?
Yeah, because of disease and difficulties they had in Russia, many of the people died young.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, the women died of childbirth. And so, one of the stipulations that you will find in this history is that the Russian Tsar, in this case I think it was Alexander the First, made a proclamation that the Germans who come to Russia will have certain privileges, such as forgiven taxes for 10 years and the like. Those are all on record. Another stipulation was that these be family groups that migrate to Russia, and they were required to maintain a family. And of course it was built in, if there was a family, the family had to be maintained, and when one of the spouses died, there would be a remarriage, and another family group would develop. But by the time they got to the United States, that kind of a system no longer worked very well, because we had changed our ways.
Like what? What changed?
Well, I suppose that the social attitudes toward families and children and the economic situations, because there's no way that in our case, and I think there were other cases of that kind, they could get along with the number of children. They were fine as individual families, but once they remarried and then more children came together, that created problems.
Mm-hmm. Had she been a widow?
For some time, not for very long, I don't think.
So then after that ended, then your dad never remarried?
No.
But he lived a long time, didn't he?
Well, he was 86, 87.
Yeah. You don't maintain contact with those sisters? Step-sister and...
A half-sister, yes.
Or the half-sister?
Constant contact.
Huh.
The other half-sisters and half-brothers, I didn't keep very much contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
I know where, even now, I know where at least one of them is.
Oh. Mm-hmm. How much schooling did you have then?
I have a master's degree in school administration.
Mm-hmm. So your parents must have encouraged education, or your father and...
I think that my mother's wish that I go to school, because after she passed away, my father insisted that I go to a certain college.
Hmm.
And so I think it was her wish before she died. She died in the area right after the flu epidemics.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you went to a country school, I suppose, huh?
Country school, and went to high school at Hebron, and undergraduate work at Dickinson, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And graduate work at Greeley.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Colorado. Mm-hmm. Mm. Did the other kids in the family get that kind of an education too?
No.
You being the oldest, was that...
I think that was part of the story, and part of the story was my mother's wish.
Yeah.
And part of it was that the rest of them, they decided by then that they had to find jobs and find work and take care of themselves. You see, while they were home, I had been doing a lot of the work and taking care of them. So that's the way it worked out.
Mm-hmm. How old was the youngest when your mother passed away?
About a year.
Quite a responsibility.
They're all still living except one. I lost one, my brother.
Is that right?
And the one, the younger one that I mentioned earlier about having died in an accident.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So was religion important in your family or in your upbringing?
Yeah, it was a part of life. You went to church and you participated, and that was part of it. Mm-hmm.
Was there much like religion outside of Sundays? I mean, like during the week? Was it important then? Devotion?
Yeah. Yes. Oh. With some families, it was more important probably than with others, but yes. It was something that they kept in mind. And then there were special church holidays and so on,
mm-hmm.
that you always participated in.
How about baptism and confirmation?
That was important. Everybody was baptized, everybody was confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Was that done in German?
No. Yep.
Confirmation? Mm-hmm. Like when you were 12 years old or 13 maybe?
Well, I was 13 or 14. I can't remember now.
Yeah, about that age, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were the church services in German, I suppose?
Yes, we had German church services until, I suppose, about 1930.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure when our church changed, because I was already leaving home. I was gone for working for myself. But about that time.
Mm-hmm. You think there was a problem with that in some families or in your family, that they resented the change from German to English?
Some of the older folks did, yes.
You remember that?
But you see, by that time the younger folks already were picking up English in schools and so on.
Yeah.
That was the reason for, I suspect that was the reason for the change, the biggest reason. Because of the young people beginning to speak in English, or speaking to each other in English, they were going to school in English.
Did your parents take classes to learn English?
Not that I know of.
Like Moonlight Schools, are you familiar with that? They had classes in the evenings for adults that wanted to learn English?
No, we didn't have that. I don't know of any effort that was made in our area for the purpose of speaking English.
Okay.
There's one thing, these people in our area at least, the Germans from Russia, they came to this country and I believe that in their mind they had made up their mind they were going to be members of this country. And for that reason, they had to learn their English, they had to learn the ways of the people in the United States, and they did.
So you don't feel that they wanted to hang on to their old traditions?
Yes, they wanted to hang on to the old traditions, but they were not against accepting the new ones. They had to be part of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do like they do in some areas today, like over here in Morehead. People migrate from Mexico and then want to change the ways up here to Mexican or Hispanic. We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We became Americans. That was the intention of the folks, and that was the goal. And to make this interesting, my grandmother, of course, she was born and raised in Russia. She learned to speak German because the background of the family was German. She could speak German excellent. She could write and read. While in Russia, she also learned to speak Russian. And by the time she died over here, she was already beginning to speak English.
How did she learn Russian?
Well, they lived there.
Yeah, but they were pretty cloistered in their little villages, and they really didn't.
Yeah, and all the history. Remember when the Russians became jealous of these Germans? These Germans were doing very well over there.
Good farmers.
And long about, I don't remember the time, about 1871, the Germans were ordered to change their language in their schools. They were ordered to accept Russian ways of doing things. And I suspect that my grandmother was keeping up with the times over there.
I think that's why many of them left about that time or a little after, didn't they?
At one time, there was a young lady from Czech, whose background was Czechoslovakian. She was a teacher out in the Glenelg area. And one time I took her and introduced her to my grandmother. This young lady spoke Czechoslovakian. That was her background. She was an excellent teacher, too. My grandmother spoke Russian. After I introduced them, I left them alone in the room, and they carried on a conversation for hours.
They could do that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Excuse me, I guess.
Sure.
Lived a little longer than my grandfather. She's quite a bit older. Mm. And she was very active.
She was, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she lost her eyesight because of cataracts. Mm-hmm. And her last 10 years of life, she was blind. Mm. But we had no particular problem. Right now, you have to have special laws for handicap.
Well, she probably had someone to take care of her, huh?
After fashion, yes.
Yeah.
She spent a lot of her time with her two youngest daughters, one in California and one in Heber, North Dakota.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How did people in those days, or your family, deal with death and grieving?
I don't remember anything out of the ordinary in connection with that. It was the usual thing. Of course, there's always a burial service in the church and so on, but nothing special that I can recall.
You remember any funeral songs or?
No. Whatever songs are used for that purpose were part of the hymnal in our church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still have several copies of those.
You do?
Yeah.
In German?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are some songs that come to mind?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay. Are you familiar with the wrought iron crosses?
I'm familiar with them, but they were not used in our church.
Do you know why?
No, I don't. I expect the reason is that these were a custom, a result of a custom that was developed in Romania and by the Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. And I know that those shapes had special meanings.
Yes, they did. But I think also later on they were replaced with gravestones, the granite stones. I don't know too much about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was Christmas like in your family? What did it mean to the family?
Did you attend the Moravian Christmas service this year?
No, I thought about it.
You'll have to go to that and find out.
Is that in South Fargo there? South of Fargo, that church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Moravian church.
I've been in there, but not for Christmas.
They put on a real old German Christmas celebration.
I saw it in the paper.
They have a tree with candles and...
And you went out there?
Yeah, we were there this year.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And the singing that was familiar to you?
Yes, they used the... Well, you're familiar with the Christmas carols, or most of them.
Yeah.
And the ones that were used there were in German.
Did they have a good turnout?
Church was full.
Oh. Could most of those people sing those songs? Were there a lot of older people
I
there?
I couldn't tell you how many. There were quite a few that did, because they were singing.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I like those old German, the Christmas carols in German, like Silent
yeah,
Night.
They, what they are is the Christmas carols in the German language.
Mm-hmm. Silent Night.
And the melody is the same.
Yeah, it is. How about Easter? What was Easter an important Christian holiday, I guess?
No.
Mm-hmm. Did you, like Santa Claus and Easter Bunny, was that observed?
Easter Bunny colored Easter eggs.
Yeah. You remember doing that?
Yeah.
And how about Santa Claus? Did you have Santa Claus?
Oh, yes, we did. My memory is when we were kids, of course, that was already accepted as a custom in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that the amount of gifts we had, each one got one thing, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking about Christmas in the church, you know, one of the things that was done in the church, the Christmas celebration, or Christmas Eve, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the kids would all have to recite the verse for Christmas, and at the end of the service, each one of the children got a little bag with nuts and an apple and some hard candy. As customary every Christmas.
I remember that too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was a German tradition?
I don't know, but we sure did it.
Yeah, yeah. How were marriage ceremonies performed? Do you remember? Was there anything special about that?
No, I can't remember anything special about that either. I suppose, again, by the time I was aware of how they were conducted, they were pretty much as they are today.
Mm-hmm. Did they have receptions at home then?
Yes, basically.
With your family then, was there a lot of partying going on when it was a wedding?
No.
No dancing in the home?
No. In the German congregations did not dance.
They didn't.
The Baptists.